Again, the Gospel according to St. Luke out of the 19th chapter. I read verses 29 through 34 again for your consideration. The Bible reads, "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man asks you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord have need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the coat, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the coat? And they said, The Lord have need of him." Supporting scripture coming from Paul's writing to the Philippians, very familiar passage, Philippians 4 and 19. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And they said, "The Lord have need of him." If we are to use a thought or subject this morning, we propose a question to you. What about the times when the Lord needs? What about the times when the Lord needs? Our covenant declares that having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God, that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our leader and as our guide. And then as we focus on that, we remember that the Word of God tells us that we are many members, but yet one body in Christ. All of us make up the body of Christ if you are a believer. And because we are believers, we are here to glorify and to lift up the righteous name of our Savior. We come to this house of worship to render praises to our God and our King. And I thank God, I feel like it's a good thing to be here this morning, because every day with Jesus ought to be a sweeter day. We've enjoyed Jesus throughout this week. We enjoyed how God has blessed us and kept us. We may have had some ups and downs. We may have had some trouble along the way. But whatever it is, God has brought us through. And we can say this morning that we are yet still here. And on this first Sunday of April, April 1st, 2012, known normally as April Fool's Day, when people play little tricks and tell small fibs, realize. But the thing is that it's in joking fun. And in its rightful place, that's all right. But we have to recognize that this being our Sabbath, this being Palm Sunday, and we do trust and pray that you will pick a palm up before you leave so that we can carry on the tradition that's been passed down from generation to generation, that we recognize and remember that the palm leaves has a significant meaning to us. And because of that, we treasure the memory of what our Savior had to go through. When Christians and believers all over the nation rejoice on this particular day that we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem to share in the Passover celebration and instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples. This, as we well know, was his last week upon the earth in the flesh. He was getting ready to fulfill his mission. The Bible declares that as he entered into the city, multitudes of people were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." And they waved palm branches and they laid garments in his path, giving him like the red carpet treatment. And it was a day of joy, a day of praise, a day of being happy, a day of celebration. And as we visualize Jesus riding in on a lowly colt, and as he listened to all of the praises and all of those that were making all of the noise, knowing that everyone that was crying, Jesus, Jesus, would by week's end be hollering out, crucify him. There are people that when you're in the limelight and it seems like everything's all right, they will glorify you and they will lift you up and they will praise you and they will say all kinds of good things about you. But when trouble comes, you'll find that many of the ones that said that they'd be with you has already walked away. But I thank God for Jesus, because even though he realized that the very ones that are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, are going to turn their backs on me, he didn't let anybody know. He just stayed on the colt. He rode in an humble fashion. And he didn't want to make a whole lot of fuss. You know, he was Jesus, and he could have had a big stallion, but a stallion was for the rich folk. But he had to come in a peaceful manner. He had to come in to sort of clarify that he was an humble servant. So he came in on that Palm Sunday during this time of Passover. Now, we also celebrate Passover even today. As we break bread together today and remember what Jesus did as he went to Calvary. As believers, we should know and understand that the Passover should still have significant meaning to us as we reflect back on the life of Christ and what Christ has done for us. We got to understand that it was because of him he made the greatest sacrifice, because when we talk about the Passover, this was the greatest and the most sacred feast of the Jewish religious year. The first of three great festivals of the Israelite people, it referred to the sacrifice of a lamb. And when the people were slaves in Egypt, they smeared the blood of the lamb on the doorpost as a signal to God that he should pass over their houses when all the firstborn were being destroyed. So the Passover had significant meaning to the people and believers of God. In the Israelite, in the time when they were slaves and enslaved in Egypt, they were there and they realized that God still had all power. They began to realize that we make sacrifices unto the Lord our God. And they sacrificed the lamb. And as I said, they took that blood and they put it over the doorpost. If we were still in that day and time, wouldn't you love to have some blood? Wouldn't you love to know that over your doorpost you got your blood signed, so that whenever the enemy came through, that everything was going to be all right in your house because of the Passover? Sometimes we don't realize what we're talking about. We just hear about it and it sounds good. But the Passover is more than just bread and wine. The Passover is recognizing that you've been free from bondage. Hallelujah, Jesus. And even though you might not be a slave to nobody, you might be a slave to sin. You might be a slave to yourself. So the Passover is still very important. But the one good thing that we can recognize and realize is that we don't have to worry about having a lamb. We don't have to worry about going and find a goat. The blood has already been shed. And the blood that was shed, it took care of all of our sins, all of our infirmities, all of the things that we've ever done wrong. Jesus' blood took care of it all. So he is the Passover lamb for all of us that believe in the power of God. So as we start and venture into this Passion Week, and then why do they call it Passion Week? Well, if somebody did something to somebody you love, wouldn't that bother your heart and your spirit? If you got any love down on the inside at all, you would begin to feel something down on the inside, a feeling of remorse, a feeling of why would you do somebody like that? Most of us know that we don't like pain whatsoever. But look at what Jesus endured on our behalf. Not only did he endure pain and suffering, but he went all the way to death, to the grave. And as we celebrate, and you know, we're going to jump on next Sunday morning about the resurrection, but we got to get Jesus in the city first. So this morning, I'm going to try to get him in the city as we celebrate this Passover. Come with me tomorrow night. We'll talk about what he did on Monday. But I'm not going to try to deal with Monday on through Sunday today. I got to go to church all week next week. And I know the men of God are going to tell me something that happened during Passion Week. But I want to know, Fowles Chapel, do you have a mindset that you thank God for the Passover? Do you thank God for the sacrifice that Jesus made for you? Are you thankful that God didn't leave us all by ourselves? He said that even though I'm going to go, I got to go back to my Father, but I'll leave my spirit with you. So you have something to comfort you when you need to be comforted. You have something to hold on to you when you feel like you're all by yourself. You have something to touch your feeble body when pain or sickness creeps in. And you got to know that God will do just what he said that he would do. Now, as a believer, how many of you have ever said, the Lord is my shepherd? Anybody in here ever said that without being prompted to say it? Anybody ever just read the 23rd Psalm just because you wanted to read it? Anybody because your parents taught it to you as a child and you know how to say the words? Did you ever say it every now and again without somebody saying it to you? Do you really know the Lord to be your shepherd? Well, the Bible says the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. But how many of you want something this morning? Anybody in here want anything this morning? Well, how many of you prayed to God this morning? I guarantee you, if you talk to God this morning, you asked him for something that you want. There may be somebody that asked him for what they need, but many of us, we ask God for what we want. Why ask God? Well, I believe because he can do it. I ask God because if nobody else can help me, God can always help me. I ask God because when don't nobody else want to help me, God said, I'll be with you. I'll go with you all the way. God blesses us. God keeps us. Because he is our shepherd, he supplies all of our needs. And we are always asking God for something. We always need or want something. But remember that the promise was to supply our needs. But we get our needs and our wants mixed up. Not just the children. Grown folk. Old folk. Get their needs and their wants mixed up. And then you wonder why the children always wanting everything. Because they hadn't been properly taught that God said that he will supply your needs. As parents, we have to learn a way of trying to teach them that God will take care of your needs. But now, if there are some things that you want out of life, if you love him enough, the Bible declared that he'll even give you the desires of your heart. Some older person told you that if you work hard, that there's nothing that is unavoidable for you. You can get anything in life that you want. If you trust and believe and you work for it or you ask for it. A lot of you don't have because you don't ask. And a lot of you don't get because you don't believe. There's a difference in just saying the words and really believing that it's going to come to pass. You see, when we talk about a need, need means a condition or situation in which something is required or wanted. Need is also defined as the extreme poverty or misfortune. Anybody in here had any misfortunes in your life? You know, we the first one to jump up and claim that we poor folk. All right. So if you're poor folk, you need something. All right. Sometime or another. All right. And as believers, we pray to grow to a point where even though you may not have everything that you think that you need, you know that in God's own time, He's going to supply the thing that you don't have. But what happens is we get impatient and we want everything on our own accord, on our own agenda, on our own schedule. Lord, I want you to bless me right now. But that blessing that God has in store for you may be 2 weeks down the road, because He wants you to sort of think about it for a while and meditate on it for a little while and pray and talk to Him for a little while. And then He will open up the doors so that you can see Him. Anybody ever seen God in your walk of life where the enemy had done shut the door, but God opened the door before you got there? Where the enemy said you wasn't going to be nothing or nobody, but God elevates you and lifts you up. And then folks don't like you because God loves you. Somebody said the devil don't like it because you're blessed like that. Anybody got enough blessings to make the devil mad sometimes? Anybody blessed enough that you're not going to let the devil get the credit over your life? Because you know you might not be all the way healed, but your healing is on the way. I heard somebody say last night that if you want a miracle is inside of you. And you got the power to perform that miracle if you believe in the power of God. But we always dependent on somebody else to do it. Open up your mouth and ask the Lord for what you want. A need is living in a dire need, necessity, or obligation. So we understand what it is to have a need. We know that every one of us, if we be honest with ourselves, have had some times in our life when we didn't have everything that we desired. But we believe that God is able to do anything that we ask Him to do. We trust and depend on a mighty God. And as I look here at the words of Paul, when Paul talked to the Philippians, we see a servant that has experienced real life. First of all, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So Paul realized that even though he was a servant of the Most High God, there were times that he needed things. But he also realized that in this life of his, he knew what it was to have a lot, and then he knew what it was not to have very much. But he realized, because I believe in the power of God, there's nothing that I cannot do, because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So Paul realized that I might not have it, but I can do it because of God. Paul realized that the Philippians, you've been good to me. There were times when I was in need and you were the very people that sent things my way. Look here what it said. "Even in Thessalonians, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So Paul realized that I had some things that I really needed, but where I was, I couldn't get them. But you loved me enough that you sent those things to me. All right. Listen what Paul said. Paul said, "Not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So in other words, he wasn't asking for anything extra. All he wanted them to know is, "I want to thank God for what you've already done." See, every now and then you ought to thank God for what He's already done for you. Before you start asking God for a whole lot of other things, what you going to do with what He already done? When God woke you up this morning, did you open up your mouth and tell God thank you? When God started you on your way this morning, did you look back and say, "Look where He brought me from"? Hallelujah, Jesus. Paul realized, "But my God shall supply all of your needs
according to his riches in glory. Now, if you're looking for something, I want to let you know where your resources are. For God has all of your resources. God is the one that will supply your need. God is the one that if you ask God for something, he will come to your rescue. Well, I come to find out this morning, what about the times when it's not all based on what you need? But what about those times when the Lord needs? See, there comes the time when God needs. God needs somebody to get up off the pew and do nothing. God needs somebody to stop doing things their way and try it his way. God needs somebody to open up their blinded eyes and realize that he is the Lord our God. There are times when the Lord needs somebody. They say, for the Lord I'll live and for God I'll die. There come a time in your life when God needs somebody that'll stand up and say, I am a child of a mighty king. And I'm not afraid what nobody gonna try to do unto me. There's a time when you gotta understand that God wants somebody that'll come into the sheepfold and say, everything gonna be all right. See, I don't know about you, and you can help me if you want to, or you don't have to say a word, because I got an amen in my pocket. I got a hallelujah Jesus in my hand. I got a kick in my foot. And I found out that the Lord who is, make a way out of no way. The Bible declares that on that Palm Sunday, that Jesus came to Bethany and to Bethpage, right there around the Mount of Olives. And we say as he got there, he began to tell two of his disciples, I want you to go into the city. And when you get in the city, when you enter there, you'll find a coat tied off to the side. A man has never sat on that coat before. And when you get there, I want you to bring me that coat. If anybody asks you what you're doing with the coat, tell them that the Lord have need of him. The Bible declares that these two men went just like Jesus said. And they that were sent went the way, found even as he had said unto them. In other words, just like Jesus said it, that's the way they found it. The coat was right there. He already knew what they were going to be asked. He already knew who was going to ask the question. But the owners of the coat came out to hail up my brothers. What you doing messing with the coat? Why are you taking the coat of Luke? But the Bible said that they looked around. And all they said was, the Lord have need of him. The Bible said, if you do what God said, do. They brought the coat to Jesus. Then they put their garments on the coat. They laid all the thing down in the aisle. And Jesus began to ride into Jerusalem. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, all the people began to cry out, Hosanna. You see, that's why God needed the coat. He needed some transportation. He needed to ride in on a borrowed beast so that the scripture could be fulfilled. He needed to ride in as an humble servant, as the lamb that shall be slain for mankind. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on and go with me now. Here we are at the end of the city. Here comes Jesus riding down on the coat. All of the believers that were all around began to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord God Almighty. I see Jesus coming down the street. I see my Savior all around me. Come on and see who I see right now. I heard that Jesus is coming to town. I see him now. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where have you been? I've been waiting on you. But the Bible said that there were some folk in the midst. There's always somebody that's going to say, Master, make them hush. But the Bible said, if these should hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. Anybody want to cry for yourself? I don't want no rocks crying for me this morning. I can cry for myself. I can cry that the Lord is on my side. Anybody love the Lord this morning? Say yeah. Anybody got God on their side? The Lord will make a way out of no way. I come to tell somebody this morning that you better hold on and hold out for God. What if the Lord needs you this morning? Can the Lord depend on you? to do what needs to be done? Or do you have a bag full of excuses? God is tired of all of your excuses. God is tired of you pointing the finger at somebody else. God is tired of you blaming mama them and pastor them and deacon them. You better blame yourself. But when you look in the mirror, whose face do you see? If what you see you don't like, you better get it right with God. I heard that the Lord God is on my side and the Lord needs somebody. What is about the time when God needs somebody? What about the time when God needs choir members? When God needs praying soldiers? When God needs somebody in the rear that'll go out into the vineyard and do what needs to be done? What about when God needs somebody that will let go and say, it's not about me, but it's all about him? What about when God needs somebody that'll get out of self, come out of your comfort zone, and know that the Lord is on your side? What about when God needs somebody that'll say, yes, yes, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll go for you. What about when the Lord said that I want you to come on in, stop sitting around doing nothing, and do what the Lord say do? The Lord needs somebody. And that somebody is you. Not your neighbor, but you. Now that he needs you, let me tell you something. You may not feel like you qualify. You may not feel like you're good enough. But it ain't about your feeling. God has his own mind. And God can take somebody and cleanse them up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wonder this morning, is there anybody in here that would be honest with yourself and say, I remember a time when I was a wretch undone. I was on my way to hell and I didn't have any kind of hope. But I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I stop by to tell you that the Lord is still on our side. As we celebrate the Passover, I eat the body of Christ. I drink the blood of Christ. For God said, until I come again, you shall do this, and as often as you do it, you show my death until I come again. Don't you know that it was a good thing to get to the city to be part of the Passover celebration? It's a good thing for us today. We're not in Jerusalem. We're not in Bethpage. But we are right here in Fowl's Chapel. The Passover is just as real today as it was then. When we think about the sacraments of this sacred table, to some, it's just really symbolic. But if, God Almighty, if you believe the power that is in that bread, if you believe in the blood that you're going to drink, hallelujah, Jesus. Don't you know that that's a personal conviction between you and your God? We didn't die for you. He did. So we ask him for everything. But what about the times when the Lord needs, when the Lord needs you to stop being so stubborn, when the Lord needs you to get rid of the grudge and forgive, when the Lord needs for families to get back together and let bygone be bygone? Brothers and sisters, not even speaking to one another. The Lord needs us to come back together. The Lord needs some folk that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's not ashamed to allow God's spirit and power to take hold of your senses. It's all right sometimes to just lose your mind in Jesus. I can't express it enough how important it is for us to know that God has needs too. But in our scripture text this morning, the Lord knew what he needed. He knew where it was, and he sent them to get it. Out of obedience, they did what he said do, and they found it just like he said. Will you be obedient this morning and heed to the master's call? Will you ask yourself, Lord, what can I do to be more of a vessel, more of a servant? Lord, what can I do to bring that forgiveness back, bring the harmony back into my family? We can't be holier than thou and then not even be able to speak to one another. That's not Jesus. But God needs somebody that is able and willing this morning